Somebody handed me a note as I came in this evening, asking me to pray for a young man who is on drugs and needs deliverance and experience with Jesus. And I thought, I got a dear friend of mine who is an outstanding pastor I've been in touch with over the last week or so, who's found himself hooked on cocaine. And it's interesting what happens inside of us. I've been trying to analyze this. Why would a man of God start putting cocaine into his system? I mean, not just a pastor, but anybody who knows God. Why would anybody who knows God put chemicals into their system? We've bitten into the lie of the world. And the lie of the world says this stuff won't take charge. That you can get a high on this, that you can, that you're here and you're depressed, and if you take a little bit of this, it'll pick you up and it'll put you here. And that's what the world tells us. It's interesting. It's not just true. It's not just true with the hard drugs, but you get it with the soft drugs as well. You get it with all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, Pepsi-Co and Coke tell you this is where it really is. I mean, if you want to live, you gotta drink Pepsi, you know, or Dr. Pepper will pick you up. All these things pick you up. The problem is that some of these things will kill you. And it's awfully hard to make the discernment between the two. But I'm thinking about my friend. I'm thinking about this young fella here who's on drugs. Why do you go on drugs? What causes a person to... My friend has passed it, $300 a day. That's of the Lord's money that he's scattering out on the street. But he had no choice. I mean, it got hold of him. Once it starts, you'll kill for it. You'll do anything for it. And there he is with it. What causes us to do this? I was listening to Barry's teaching last night. I was really impressed with what he had to say. He was talking about the halal, this mighty Hebrew word for worship, which is basically the word for celebration. And he made a kind of a passing statement as he was teaching that there's halal in all of us. In every one of us, there is a built-in desire to celebrate. I mean, it's way down deep inside of us that we want to celebrate. We want to be high. And if we can't get it one way, we'll get it another. I know a lot of friends who are getting it in sex. They're getting it in fantasy. They're getting it through the movies or through books. I'm not condemning these things per se. Sex is right, and movies are okay, and books are fine. But if that's where you're looking for your high in life, then something's wrong because you're looking in the wrong place. My friend has looked in drugs because drugs will pick you up. And so he's heroin. Heroin's for the streets. So he goes to cocaine because cocaine is high stuff. I mean, that's really where it's at. All the really in people. That's the yuppie thing for today is cocaine. And he knows better than to sniff it, so he's freebasing. He's melting it. And because that gets the impurities out. All that does is purify it so that it goes immediately into the system and it's killing. It's going to kill him. If he doesn't do something about it, it's going to kill him. Because of the halal on the inside. There is something inside that says, I've got to move on to that which is higher. I've got to do it. I cannot stay where I am. There is a craving, there is a driving, there is a yearning, there is a passion, there is a compulsion within every one of us that is pushing us towards the high. And you know what it is? It's the shape of God. That's what it is. We are designed to have fellowship with God. We are designed to walk in perfect harmony with God. And if we don't do it with God, we'll go here. We'll find it any place we have, because, and we don't know why. The reason is because there is, as Augustine said, I don't know how many years ago, that there's a God-shaped vacuum inside of us that only God will fit. Only God. Anything else that goes into that causes irritation and finally death. But if you put God into that vacuum in the form of Jesus Christ, then suddenly you are up. You're up. Now that doesn't mean you're giddy or giggly or dancing all the time. You're not. There's times of weeping, there's times of mourning, there's times of grief, and there's times of discouragement. But you are up because your base is up. Do you know what a surge is? You know what an electrical surge is? We have them every once in a while around here. You're all of a sudden everything goes, woo, like that, you know. I'm not talking about that kind of surge. Everybody's concerned about the tidal surge that's going to happen. They say it's not the wind or the waves that's going to destroy. It's the tidal surge. The tidal surge is where the actual height of the ocean rises. That sea level is no longer here, but sea level changes. You know, we're constantly talking about the consistency of sea level. But when this hurricane comes in, sea level changes. And everything is picked up. If you have a tidal surge of 6 feet, then the ocean rises by 6 feet, because someplace way out there, there are forces coming in underneath that are picking up the entire ocean and raising it 3, 4, 5, 6 feet. And then when the wind comes, and then you have a 6-foot wave on top of that, then you've got a 12-foot wave coming in instead. And so everybody's concerned about the tidal surge. What God does in our life is He causes a permanent tidal surge. I mean, He picks us up. We're no longer at sea level here. That's normality as far as the world is concerned. He picks us up and puts us here, and that's where we are. Now, we're not always frothy, and we're not always riding the surf. There's times when the surf is calm. But our base is higher. We're up. We're above everything else. We can breathe. We're not going to die for a lack of oxygen. We have in the clean, pure air. That's where we are. We're up away from the smog and the smoke and the garbage of this world. We have been raised through the power of Jesus Christ. I stood on this platform last night. I came in and I missed the first two sessions. I was up in Chicago. And I flew in late Friday night and after midnight Friday night and was able to come to the men's breakfast Saturday morning and got a taste of what was going on. And then I came on up here Saturday night, and I stood that Barry's been rehearsing with this choir for the last several days. And we're going to get a taste of that tonight. We're going to finish the celebration this evening. Just hang on. You can't go any place. I mean, the weather's all messy out there. And just get comfortable, and we're going to have a good time tonight. And I came up here and stood on the platform. And there was a time we began to sing glory. Glory, glory, glory. And I couldn't handle it. I could not handle it. And I watched our dancers back here in the back. Two rows up. Back here. Nobody could see them out here in the congregation, just the folks on the platform. And they were giving glory to God way back in the back. Nobody was watching them. But in their beautiful, synchronized, rehearsed way, they were glorifying God up against the wall. Nobody else could see it. I could see it. I began to cry. I didn't want to cry because I'm supposed to be part of the choir. There's a whole lot of things that worked inside of me. Part of it was, oh God, I have yearned for this for 18 years. This is what I've wanted the tabernacle to become. A group of people who worship the Lord, who know God and who praise Him, who are not performing in any way. Your dancers back there. And they came on forward, and they led the rest of us. But before they came forward, they got ready before God. They did their own little private worship back here in the back. Six on this side, six on this side. Worshiping and praising. It's awful hard for us to grasp this kind of thing, you know. I came in several years ago and began to talk to Linda Giard, Debbie Booten, and a couple of others who were here about dancing. We have a little dance workshop here. Everybody said, oh, what is this? You know, another one of Jamie's crazy, you know. Now we're going to be dancing all over the front of the church. You know. We just got accustomed to raising our hands. And now we're doing this kind of stuff. And you know, all the kind of wild tales that begin to spread. Yeah, you know, the girls are going to get up there and shake their bottoms around, you know. And you know, we're going to have some kind of dress code for the dancers. And we'll probably get all the single guys in town show up for the worship service now, you know. And, you know, everybody had all of this kind of stuff, you know. And God kept saying, just give it time. Give it time. They'll make a few mistakes. They don't quite know what to do. Folks out here don't know how to respond. The dancers are a little awkward with what they're doing. Give it time. I stood here on the platform last night and I thought, I watched it. I watched it before my own eyes. I saw it happen. That dream beginning to come through. It's not finished yet. But I tasted it last night. I tasted it again this morning. I went down there and sat on the front row last night. Jackie had to go get me a Kleenex. I feel like a fool sitting here crying, snorting, nose running. I can't. Oh, glory. But it was more than that. It was more than the dream and the fulfillment of the dream. A lot more than that. I want to give you a passage of Scripture. Y'all have heard me teach on this before, but God said last night, He said, you go back to Him tonight. And I'm not going to go into depth with it, but from the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew 18, Jesus had been talking to His disciples about forgiveness. And how do you handle relationships, interpersonal relationships? The toughest of all the problems we face is how do you deal with one another? How do you deal with a friend who crosses you? Somebody you're out of sorts with? And Matthew 18:15, he says, if a brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. He says, get transparent between the two of you. And if he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he'll not listen, then you take along a couple of others. So that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And if he refuses to listen to them, then tell it to the church. Because the church is family. And if he refuses to listen to the church, then you have to no longer treat him as a brother because he's not part of the family. He is somehow out of harmony with the family. He's not flowing with the family. So you either treat him as a pagan. Or somebody who's not part of the family, because families flow together. They may disagree, but they understand authority. My kids, my grandchildren, flow with me. And a granddaughter came up here tonight, stood on the platform to dance a little bit with Papa. And I thought, well, that's about the neatest thing that's happened to me. No, it really is. I'd rather have her up here than my wife, you know. I really would. Because that's the third generation. And we're beginning to flow together in the things of the Spirit. We're flowing together. Families flow together. And we are part of a family. We're part of a great family here. And we're in harmony with one another. Now, Jesus says that. Now, look exactly what he says as soon as he finishes that. He says, I tell you a truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What's he talking about? Well, we'll have to explain it by reading the next verses. Again, he says, I tell you. Now, if Jesus says again, what he is saying is, let me tell you the same thing that I just told you all over again. So that means that these passages are vitally related to each other. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything, anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Now, let me tell you what happened to me last night. It happened again this morning while we were here. This weeping part of me. And it doesn't manifest itself too often. I don't turn on the tears very easily. In fact, I don't turn them on. If it happens, it happens deep down inside of me. And then when it happens, I don't try to stop it. I just kind of let it go. And if you're around, why, you just have to wait until it's over. That's all. That's the best I can say with that. Because it's something in the depths that happens with me. But I know what I knew what was happening. I've been familiar enough with this. I'm familiar enough with the scriptural principles to know what was going on inside of me when that began. What was happening with me is somehow I was touching God. And somehow I was in the midst of the family that I love who was touching God. And my family was touching God. My brothers and sisters who were all here together were touching God. We did it again this morning. We did it just a few minutes ago. In an odd kind of little thing nobody had planned. I told Jimmy, I said, let's have about 10 minutes of singing and then we'll take up the offering and then I'm going to teach a little bit. Oh, I know better than to say that's the way it's going to be. You got to have some kind of guideline so you start on this. And all of a sudden God says, okay, I'm going to honor the fact that you have a certain degree of order. Now I'm going to interrupt this and I want to see if you're tuned to what's going on. And yeah, we're tuned to what's going on. And that's what took place here just a few minutes ago. God is honoring our worship. He is honoring the fact that we are honoring Him, and He honors us back in return by healing us and by visiting us. Now that's what He's doing with this. And the more we worship Him, and I'm not talking about just singing and dancing. I'm talking about a whole lifestyle. The more we worship Him, the more He is going to do. We got just a little taste of it right here, right down here just a few minutes ago. And some people were healed. I mean, some people whose lives and bodies will never be the same as they were when they came into this place. God touched them. Wasn't Curry, wasn't myself, wasn't the elders who were standing. God did it, that's all. We were just here to be used by God. We came into that kind of relationship with Him. Now, let me show you this passage of Scripture. If two or three of you agree about anything. The Greek word for agree is the word symphonium. Symphonium. And it's the word that we get our English word symphony from. It's also the word that we get our word harmony from. It comes from the root of the Greek, of symphonium. And agreement has to do with being in symphony with God. Now he says it again down here. Where two or three of you come together, and it's that root word again of symphonium, coming together with one another. If you come together in harmony, now he says if you'll agree with me, you're in symphony. If you agree with one another, you are in symphony together. You remember what happened in the upper room on the day of Pentecost when it said they were all in one accord, symphonium. They were all in one accord with each other. That doesn't mean they were all singing the same note. It means they were all in the same key. And there is a difference. They're not all sopranos or altos or tenors or basses. They're all singing in the same key together. They're not one group singing A flat and one group singing an F over here. But they're all singing in symphony, in harmony together. Our gifts are different. The body is different. What this whole book is about is the difference that we're all made. We're all created and made different. But you see, if we come together and sing together, and then if we will tune our ear to the Master who sets the key. And that's what he's saying. And he says, what happens in this kind of thing? If you will come and will sing in symphony with me, then anything you ask for will be done here on earth. That's where the power comes from. Anything you ask for when you're in harmony with me. Now, nobody can sing God's note. Let's nail that down. God's note is unique. Only God sings God's note. In fact, Jesus said even he could really not sing the final note of the Father. He said the Father himself has some things that only he knows. But God sets the key, and God has that dominant sound, and all the rest of us blend with him. That's all we do. We blend our voices. We hear that sound, but we don't sing God's note because God's note is sacred, and it really is sacred. He is apart from us. He is separate from us. He is holy. We cannot approach him. He is God. He is God. But he sends his sound out all across this world. And even though he will not allow us to see his face, he will allow us to hear his son. And we can come, and his son embraces us, and his son sings. And as his son sings, we hear the sound of God. And we begin to sing in harmony, in symphonium, in agreement with God. And it doesn't make any difference whether your voice is pleasant or not. See, God doesn't listen to the voices. He listens to the heart. And some of you are monotone. Some of you are cracked. And some of you, you know, you can't sing very well. I've heard you. And I know. And I don't sing very. I gotta get in a group of people before I really sound good. I mean, if I'm bellering, why, it's okay. But if you turn me loose solo, and I don't sound very good solo. I really don't. That's the reason I don't sing solos in this church. I don't sound very good. There are very few people who sound good solo. There are a few. They're gifted that way. Most of us have to have others around us to make a sound good. But if you'll put me in a group of people, the bigger the group, the better, and then put me up against a good instrument in the middle of an orchestra, if I can, I go often, Dan and I are oftentimes together in conferences. I love to have Dan because I'll lead singing, and Dan knows that I can't do it. And so Dan's always striking the right note over there, you know, and I'm listening. And because I'll start it here rather than starting it there, I don't have the ability that Barry has or that Jimmy has, this perfect pitch kind of thing. I've got to have others around me. And God is saying, I'm striking the note. All you have to do is harmonize with me. And if you will harmonize with me, then I will sing also with you. And when God sings and I sing, no power on earth can stay us. The devils have to flee. The hurricanes have to be calm. Disease has to go away. Even death itself cannot stand the power of men and women who are singing God's song in harmony with God. Now, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says that's how you come into agreement with your brother. And he says if you come into agreement with your brother, then he says you have the power to bind everything that is evil, and you have the power to loose the power of God into this earth. Now, you know what happens when we do that? We bless God. We bless God. And you know what happens when God is blessed? God blesses us. God blesses us. That's what he's talking about in Malachi. You remember he says, if you'll obey me, he says, you remember what will happen? He says, I'll throw open the windows of heaven. Because he says, there'll be such a blessing you can't take what's happening. And I love what a beautiful picture I have there of God up in heaven. He's looking down and somebody's obeying him down there. And he calls all the angels and says, look, 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 look. There's a couple down there and they're going to tithe their income just like I told them to. They don't have any money, but they're going to tithe what little bit. Now that's exactly what he says in Malachi. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and trust me, prove me, saith the Lord, if I will not pour out a blessing on you more than you can receive. And he says, hey, look. And he calls Gabriel, Michael, all the little guys, and they're all looking over the windowsill. God says, oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's powerful. And God begins to get blessed because they're down there obeying. He says, nobody's obeying, and that couple's down there. And God begins to dance around the throne room of heaven. And the glory of God fills the throne room. And the angels run around. They say, we can't take this. And they throw open all the windows. They say, we're going to explode. The blessing is so great in the throne room of heaven, we're going to explode. And they throw up open all the windows, and the blessing of God goes, whoo, right down on top of that couple that are down there obeying God. Now, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I got to put it in language you and me can understand. But the blessing of God is poured out on those who bless Him. And when we come to worship Him, we bless God, and then God blesses us back in return. Now, you know why I was crying? Thanks for crying. I'm made up of body, soul, and spirit. This is my body. Inside of me there is a soul, and way down deep inside that controls everything about me, there is that part that's part of God. My soul is not the breath of God. The Quakers call it the eternal flame. My soul is not the image of God. My soul needs to be saved. But there is in me spirit. Way down deep inside of me, there is the image of God that's still inside. And that's the part that needs to praise God. That's the part of me that is yearning constantly to touch the Father. Because it's part of the Father that's in me, and it's always struggling and yearning to get back to touch the Father. And that's the reason if I don't allow it to touch the Father, it'll go to drugs or it'll go to 100 other things. It's the Spirit that drives a man. Not his body. You're not driven by your body. You're not driven by your soul. It's the Spirit that, if not allowed to flow in harmony with God, in symphony with God, will find itself in symphony with something else, some kind of unholy alliance, which will kill it. So I'm body, soul, and spirit. Music is made up of body, soul, and spirit. We've demonstrated this on occasion. I'll not do it tonight. But music is basically made up of rhythm and melody and harmony. And rhythm is the body of music. It's the physical part of music. Rhythm is the part that causes us to clap our hands, to tap our foot, to dance in a little syncopation, to move our bodies. That's rhythm. Rhythm causes us. It affects the body. That's the reason that a rock concert, which is nearly all rhythm, very little soul, and if the spirit is there, it's the wrong kind of spirit oftentimes. But anyway, it's the rhythm that draws people to the concert, where everybody can tend to do it at the same time. And we begin to move in syncopation like that, in rhythm. Rhythm is a very vital part of music. You really can't have good music without rhythm. Melody is the soul of music. That's the nostalgic part. That's the tune. That's a sweet part of music. And we have a lot of soulish music. We have a lot of soulish music in the church. We have folks out there call things soul music. And that's basically what it is. It's the part that affects the inner part of us. But there is another part of music that is the highest part. Not just the rhythm at the bottom, which is the body, or just the soul, which is at the next level, which is the melody. But there's that part which is harmony. It's when voices blend together, instruments blend together, voices and instruments blend together, and then everything blends with God, and that's harmony. And we don't have very much of that kind of harmony. Not really. And I know what happened to me on the platform last night. I saw God's people, and I saw it again this morning. I saw God's people in harmony with God. I heard God's people in harmony with God. And when that happened, the dam broke on the inside. Because I can't stand in the presence of that. I can't take very much of that. And when it really happens, and happens at its fullest, we'll all be prostrate on the floor. All, and just the angels will sing. That's all. Because we won't be able to sing. All we'll be able to do is just lie there and say, oh God, oh God. Oh God, that's where He's bringing us to. We'll taste it just a little bit. The time will come when we'll taste it for all eternity. But God wants there to be heaven on earth. And that's where we are. We'll bless Him and the halal on the inside. We'll touch the halal of God, God who is infinite celebration. We'll be touched by our celebration as we say, Lord, not here, not here, not here, but everything that is within me shall praise the Lord, shall bless the Lord. I'll not satisfy it in any other realm or any other region. I'll only satisfy it with you. I'll only drink from your fountain. I'll only sing your song. My ear will only be tuned to your note. And when it's done, God will come down and will be in our midst.